I guess we can just turn the microphones on. Hi, everybody. It's the Patty Vasquez Show. You're listening to WGN Radio, and so happy to be following a White Sox win. We are in the Allstate Skyline studio. Hope that you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. Vivian Leneau behind the glass tonight producing the show. Good to see you again. I feel like I haven't seen anybody in weeks.
I know. How was your trip?
It was wonderful.
You were there for like 3 years, I feel like.
I was in Los Angeles for, I believe, about I think 10 days.
That's a long time.
It was a long time. We did a few shows out there. And by the way, the KTLA studios, you've seen the KTLA
shows? I have not,
news but shows.
I've heard great things.
Oh, it was so nice. They were so kind. There was a guy named Joe who would bring me, you know, the first night I was there, he made sure I had water and coffee, set me up in this little booth. The next night he bought pastries for me, and I felt really spoiled. I'm like, well, this is amazing. I have to come out here more often.
No, I want to go.
They were very kind. Well, you spend time in Los Angeles.
I do, yeah. My boyfriend lives out there.
And how long have you dated?
It's going to be 8 months.
Wow. Did you meet him out there?
No, here, actually. Chicago was a Greek event.
Okay.
We just started talking, and one thing led to another. And, you know, he came out here to Chicago a couple weeks after we started talking, and we went on a date, and then the rest is history.
Nice.
Yeah.
What part of Los Angeles does he live in?
He lives in Downey.
Oh, I don't know where that is.
It's like 20 minutes away from...
like the central part of Los Angeles.
Of Los Angeles,
it's
yeah.
It's so spread. Out.
It's huge.
I only scheduled one meeting and one appearance. I performed at the Comedy Lab, which is part of the Improv,
yeah.
The world famous Los Angeles Improv.
Fancy.
And it was kind of fun to walk my mom a little bit through what it's like for me when I go to Los Angeles, but I didn't want to stack a lot of meetings. I wanted to be able to spend time with her.
That's nice.
And yeah, and she, we had a lovely time. We didn't lose a day because I was trying to work out the technical aspects of doing the show, and
yeah.
It wasn't until Todd Manley was like, wait a minute, we have a relationship at KTLA. Let's do it that way.
That's so awesome.
But I have photos of all the wires, and there's a box called a Comrex.
Okay.
Which is what engineering gives me in order to be able to broadcast. So that quality you hear of people who aren't, maybe Adam Hoge.
Mm-hmm.
I know there are other hosts that sometimes had to broadcast remotely. So when you hear us, you know, it's a little bit different. It's the sound quality is, but it's almost as good as being in the studio. So that's how I broadcast from Springfield or when I'm in Los Angeles. A lot of times when I'm on the road, you know, doing performances.
Yeah.
But for the first time ever, we were not able to use the Comrex. You know, there have been other issues technically where maybe the Ethernet or the there's no connection.
It gets complicated.
Right. And so there's a symbol that lets me know that the line is good. I was like, okay, we're good. Right? I'm like, all right, we're great. So I'm testing with engineering here. And we're going back and forth. But the microphone won't work. Everything is fine.
Oh, no.
But the microphone just would not work. And I spent so much time trying to rewire it and get other microphones.
And that's what you really need. The microphone.
Yeah, it's kind of crucial. It's a little crucial. And someone suggested, well, just do it by phone. It's not going to sound good. But I want to thank everybody who made those shows go so smoothly.
Yeah.
Thank you so much to engineering and obviously KTLA, all of our guests. It's not easy, you know, to have the host sort of talking to you from a remote location. So that was a lot. But it was wonderful to be able to take my mom. And we went to the Paul. Have you been to the J. Paul Getty Museum?
I have not.
You have to go to the Getty.
Okay.
The Getty
tell George.
Yes.
If you're listening, George, you're going to take me there.
And depending on what kind of art, do you have a period of art that you like? Like, do you like the Impressionists, or do you like, you know, something from maybe the Renaissance, or from, you know, they have medieval works of art. They have a couple pieces. They actually have two pieces of work by Da Vinci. They have a couple
Ooh.
Of sketches that he was working on, other pieces of work. And he apparently used both sides of the paper. So they have it in this glass. Oh, it's incredible. It's
wow.
One room to just these two pieces of work that Da Vinci did.
That's amazing.
There are some Rembrandts. There's a self-portrait of Rembrandt. My mom, it was 10 minutes before closing, and she was so excited. I found Rembrandt. And it was lovely. And I wish that we had been, that was where we were supposed to go the day that I had all the technical difficulties. If we'd been able to go, we would have been able to take 2 days and take our time. There's these enormous buildings, you know, that are devoted to different periods, different styles of art, you know, whether it's photography or
that's
sculpture.
Awesome.
Okay. And this actually brings up an important question.
Okay.
And David, you can help me out with this too. Is it ever okay to correct a tour guide or a docent at a museum? Because there was a moment, And this, and I didn't want to be picky, but the, and because this guy was so charming, and he was delighted by the fact that I'd missed a piece of work. It was on a ceiling. There was a ceiling portrait painting, mm-hmm. and it's like these folks are they look like they're leaning over a balcony and they're looking down at you. And one guy's got a guitar and there's a dog, and it was really cool, right? And I was like, yeah, I'm trying to find my mom and I'll bring her back and show her this. But he stopped me again, even though I was like, I gotta find my mom. So he wanted to show me this statue in the middle of the room, and he goes, it's by a Latina. And I thought, well, but everything in here is like from the 1500s, 1500s and 1600s. That's surprising to me. So I wanted to see what he was talking about. And,
yeah.
I looked at the statue, and I should have taken a picture of the card because it would help this story. But I looked at the card, and it was by a woman from Spain. Okay.
Oops.
Okay, so I'm not wrong.
Not exactly Latina.
Right. So I because he was so charming. I mean, it seemed as though he wanted me to feel like I was connecting to something. Right?
Yeah.
I apparently looked Latina to him, so he wanted me to get excited about it. And so I didn't want to be dismissive because it was really sweet of him. And it is a gorgeous wooden sculpture. And I said, well, she's Spanish.
Clearly, he doesn't know history.
Well, that's and or the designations,
yeah.
Right, the designation of that label is of Latin, and I had to Google it too because I'm like, well, maybe I'm wrong, maybe that's what they have told him to say. And I said, well, she's Spaniard, so she's European, she's not of Latin American descent, that's Latino, Latinx, Latina. And he goes, well, what's the difference? And I thought, well, I don't know if I should.
It's like, how do you answer that?
I'm still trying to find my mom.
It's like, this opens up a whole new, deeper conversation that probably you didn't have or didn't want to spend the time on.
And he was so charming. He was so excited to share this piece of art with me.
So charming and so
wrong.
Unaware.
Maybe you should have just maybe written a note and just, you know, on your way out, just gave it to him and said, it's not Latina.
No, I told him.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Was there any blushing involved?
He was confused because I'm not sure if he's, you know, maybe every single day someone walks through the room and they say, and he tells them there's a piece of art by a Latina. And so he's thrilled to be able to share this with folks. And his enthusiasm was hard to counter. I didn't want to deflate that or take anything away from the passion he has for his work. So I'm not sure that he'll carry the correction with him. I wanted to pull it up on my phone and show him the distinction between Latina and Spanish artist. So I think he should be accurate, but I don't know what the training is like. I don't know that maybe that's the way they teach the descriptions at the Getty Museum. But I couldn't help myself. Hello, look at me. I talk for a living. I'm going to engage with a guy who just inaccurately.
Just because the language is the same does not make everything else the same.
Right. I don't know what you mean by that. What do you mean?
Well, Spanish.
Yes. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes. So
I mean, there are lots of different people who speak Spanish, but they're not all from the same place.
Right.
Their origins are different.
And that's what I was trying to explain, that Latino is a designation for those of Latin American descent. And I said, you know, because Latinos are a mix. We're, you know, part Native American, we're part European, you know, we're part a lot of different things, whereas Spanish is distinctly European. Anyway. I'm just curious if anyone's had a situation where you've wanted to correct somebody at a museum, and I would, you know, I've been to the Lincoln Museum. I've heard a couple things where I'm like, I don't know if that's right, but I don't correct them. But for some reason, this one felt like I had to say something. Should I have just kept it to myself? It was hard.
You know, I don't know. I think you did the right thing. I mean, okay. It wasn't bad.
No,
that you corrected him. I think
I was kind about it.
No, yeah, I think you were. I think there's nothing wrong with you just telling him that. Yeah, no, it's not Latina. So kudos to you.
You were on the money.
Okay,
there right. You go. You got two people on your side.
He needed to whether he actually heard you or not.
Right.
Is a different subject, but you made the effort to point out to him that what he is saying and what is true don't match.
Well,
so it's like it's a Spanish artist, not a Latina artist. There is a difference.
Right. And but how important is that? right? How important is it to correct somebody? Was it my need, or is it that should everybody know that she's Spaniard? Will it make a difference to anybody else? That's the thing. How necessary was it?
Well, let's put it this way. Are you a right fighter by nature?
I guess you could say so.
No, yeah. I mean, seriously. Yeah. If you're not a right fighter by nature, then you just... wanted this. You just wanted to explain it.
I did. Well, that's a. You know what? That is a need that I have that I should. I have to find ways to let go of my need to be right. I have to check it sometimes. But I have been in situations where I've wanted to say something, and not been as certain of my correct. Mm-hmm. Point of view. That one I feel was correct. I was in a museum one time in Mexico City at the Anthropology. They have this enormous world-class anthropology museum, and the tour guide was telling the guests that the Native Americans who came across the Bering Strait and migrated south, the more intelligent Native Americans went to places like Mexico. The more intelligent has stuck with me, and it's been 20 years since I was at that museum, but it jumped. I didn't say anything. I wasn't part of that tour group, but I was eavesdropping because, you know, you're next to somebody who seems like an expert.
Right.
I must compliment you on your ability not to say what you were thinking at the time.
Dave would have just jumped in.
I know.
What did you just say?
Well, when I was a kid, though.
Like,
I was
excuse me?
I was like,
really?
I was like 18 or something, and I think I was afraid to say something to, like, I was like, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
So I didn't say anything to him, but I thought, what a weird thing for a tour guide to say, that the Native Americans who settled in North America, or in the United, what's now the United States or Canada, were less intelligent because they didn't seek out, I guess because they didn't seek out warmer weather. But then what does that say about us, David? We live in Chicago. Does that make us less intelligent because we don't seek out warmer climates?
Well, why don't we pick on the Mormons?
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Hold on, my brother might be listening. And my sister. My mother was baptized Mormon, so was I.
Look, they went through all kinds of hell, and where do they wind up?
In Utah.
Utah.
It's not bad. They have pretty decent climate.
It's not a terrible place, but, you know.
And, well, the thing is, they built their own city.
Quite a city it is.
But not a rock and roll. I don't know what I'm doing. Sometimes I wonder if I need to edit myself more in public as well. I think that many people in my life would agree that editing is probably encouraged. I have to edit. But I had to say something to that guy.
You know, look, when you get the opportunity to correct somebody because it'll be beneficial for you and for the person because you're learning something new and maybe they're saying something that's not right or not factual, I think it's always best to correct them.
Yes.
So I think that was a good thing.
And I think his emphasis was intended to be more about the fact that a woman had done the sculpture, which I think is enough.
Yeah.
Right? Because it was the only woman featured in that entire wing of the museum. So that, I struggled for a moment. I bit my lip for a second, and I kept looking at the card going, Spanish. She's Spanish. She's not Latina. She's Spanish. Because I'm not Spanish. I'm Latina.
Yeah.
Right? I have a friend. I should see if Carmen Lynch is available. She's a comedian who's been on David Letterman. And sometimes we're on the same show together because there aren't that many women who are of Latina background in stand-up comedy. So they bring in, because Carmen can speak Spanish fluently, right? So we conflate that entire concept as well because we're like, well, at least she speaks Spanish.
Yeah, well,
we count her.
Bring her on the show.
Right? Let me see if I can text her and see if she'll answer this discussion for me and see if I'm right. Because she might have a definitive answer as to whether or not I'm right or wrong. Before we go to the news, I do have to ask you, do we have a break here?
Yeah, we'll take a break.
Let's take a quick break here. More after this on 720 WGN.
This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI.
720 WGN.
Some people see the revolution, but most only see the girl. I can lose my hard-earned freedom if my fear defines my world. I declare my independence from the critics and the stones. I can find my revolution. I can learn to stand alone.
It is Monday night. So happy that you're hanging out with us. You are listening to The Patty Vasquez Show. We would love to have you join the conversation anytime. 312-981-7200. That's the number to call or text. That's 312-981-7200. I'm trying to find the name of this artist that the docent at the Getty Museum What about people who consistently mispronounce names? Should you correct them? Yes, you should definitely correct me. I often mispronounce names. I encourage people when I'll ask, you know, because a lot of folks won't say that you've mispronounced their last name.
Yeah.
Right? They just kind of take it. Like Vasquez, it depends on the situation.
Oh my God, you got it easy. My name is like, I got like 30 different names.
Lanou?
Well, Lanou, they will pronounce it Lanou.
Oh dear.
Because of the OU at the end. Mm-hmm. But even my first name, you know, my actual name is Paraskevi. I've told you this before. And people just butcher that. You already know that they're going to butcher it. So
Paraskevi?
Paraskevi.
Paraskevi.
Paraskevi, yep. It means Friday.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
You got a day of the week? You
yeah.
You the best day of the week?
Best day of the week.
It's when
my mom did something right about that.
And everything cut loose on Friday.
Yeah.
I love that. So Vivian Friday is not necessarily the name you would want to go by, though.
You know, it's funny because some of my high school friends used to call me TGIF.
Oh, that's
which
sweet.
Was funny, you yeah. know, because it's like, thank God it's Friday.
Yeah.
So it was funny.
Thank God it's Vivian.
And when that song came out, do you remember that song, the Friday song?
Mm-mm.
No, I'll play it for you later.
Yeah.
It's really funny. Just basically just talking about the days of the week. And it's this young girl singing, and it's funny. I'll play it for you.
Yeah, I want to hear this song.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
I love that you asked me if I knew a song. It's very sweet.
Oh, my God. I totally forgot.
Yes.
You're right. Oh, my gosh.
Very kind of you. We played Patty's Appalling Lack of Musical Knowledge live at Stage 773 on Saturday. And it was fun. So we had a contestant. We had several contestants on stage who had to determine, based on the first few seconds of a song, whether or not I was going to know the artist and the name of the song.
So, yeah.
And I had to know both because I don't think it's fair. I mean, I'm going to be 50-50 on one or the other. Okay, maybe 20% on one or the other. So there was one song. I have no idea what it was, but I could tell they let it go to the vocals. And I was like, ooh, this is David Bowie. And I was impressed that I was excited.
You got it?
I got it right.
Oh, my goodness.
But I had no idea what song it was. Something called Heroes. Is that familiar to you guys?
No.
No?
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, David Jennings.
Fame, I remember.
Fame? Fame from David Bowie sings Fame?
Wasn't that?
I'm going to live forever. No, it's not David Bowie.
No. Fame. Da, 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 da.
No, I don't know.
No?
No. That's a David Bowie song? I know. You looked for Vivian for help.
So.
I can't. I don't have it in my queue. How are you doing, Mr. Jennings?
I'm good.
Excellent. It's nice to have.
So you got to spend all 5 days
with. Oh, I was with my mother from Wednesday. Well, I think it was actually the Thursday before, whatever day that was, like May 2nd, until May 8th. So 6 days, I guess. Yeah, that's about right.
And you didn't kill each other. That's a major accomplishment. Congratulations.
No. We had a very nice time. I took her to some of my favorite restaurants. There's a place called Mercado, which now apparently is more of a chain. And so, yeah, when something starts to branch out, it does, I think, suffer a little bit. Like the menus were sticky. That's always an indication for whatever reason. I mean, I don't mind a sticky menu at a diner or a dive, but a nicer,
restaurant,
expensive...
No, don't give me a sticky menu, please. Come on.
Exactly.
All right.
I get it. You know, the margaritas are messy and syrupy, but you got to wipe down your menus, man.
And margaritas, that's not my thing.
I'm saying that's why they're sticky. Is that that's their forte is making margaritas.
Yeah,
so that's part of
maybe they should remember that, you know... Some things are necessary.
When you go to a restaurant, do you like the menus that have an overabundance? Like, there's just too... I prefer to have a focused menu. Does that make sense?
I like some options.
Yeah,
But don't overload me with them.
How about the Cheesecake Factory? I need a notebook. I need to make sure that I've jotted things down.
Fortunately, whenever I go there,
it's
usually when I want a slice of cheesecake.
Mm.
So, since I'm a chocoholic, I just... look at what's in the display window and just say, a slice of that one, please.
Yeah.
It's easier that way.
Are they still busy all the time? Because when we used to go...
I haven't been in there in a while.
I haven't.
I've only been to the one up at the Hancock building.
Oh, yeah. We used to go to that one. And when I was pregnant with Declan, I think we had... Oh, no. I think I might have been pregnant with Griffin. So this is 15 years ago.
They've been there that long?
They've been there. There's one at Old Orchard. And when we went...
What did you think of the bathroom the first time went in?
To have that big old room, like that big heavy wooden door and all the
The decor is just... interesting.
Yes.
It's very different.
It was, yeah.
And if you're accustomed to a traditional place, it's like, prepare to have your mind blown.
Because
it will be.
Yes.
You'll be like, really?
That brings up another good point, though. My mother, the first restaurant we went to that I enjoyed, it was, I think it's called Good Neighbor. It's kind of a diner, great breakfast and lunch, and, you know, they've got a nice selection of smoothies and coffee drinks. And mom came back and she goes, based on their bathroom, this place is not very good.
Oh, gosh. I love the impression that you give your mom.
She's no BS, my mom.
Not
she tells
very
you,
good.
But,
okay.
But do you change your opinion about a restaurant based on a trip to the bathroom? If you do, would you go to the bathroom first then in order to determine whether or not this place is someplace you want to?
I have changed my opinion of a restaurant or even if it's a chain restaurant. You go to the bathroom, that can tell you a lot about the place.
I agree. You know, they're paying attention.
If they're not paying attention, the bathroom is one of the first places it tends to show up.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, if this is how you take care of the bathroom, I don't even want to look in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Because I might be a little disturbed by what I see.
You're right. Do you like seeing the kitchen? I guess maybe that's another thing. What do you think about the bathrooms, Vivian? Will you change your mind about a restaurant based on the quality of cleanliness in the bathroom?
I will definitely judge it.
Yeah.
I remember there's this cafe that I would go to all the time, and for the longest time, they did not have soap that was working properly.
Right?
So I would just wonder, like, okay, this is a very nice cafe. And so many people come here all the time. You know, the ambience of the whole place is really nice and cozy. And you go to the bathroom. The bathroom is nice looking, okay? But right. There's just the soap is just not working. So I was thinking to myself, my gosh, it's just the soap. Like, you can just invest, like, $2.
A little pump soap.
Just a little pump soap, something.
Yeah.
But which
then leads to another question.
Yes.
Does everybody wash their hands?
Then where are the people who are cooking the food?
Right.
Where are they washing their hands?
Maybe they have their own bathroom.
I hope they have soap at least.
Did you ever tell the host or anybody at the restaurant or cafe that they didn't have any soap?
I did not. Okay.
Oh, I do.
I didn't.
I'll tell them if there are no paper towels, if there's no soap. It's like, no.
If I'm in a stall with no toilet paper, I'll go around and see if I can get a loose roll somewhere to put in the stall.
Yeah.
So the next person is not trapped.
Provided, of course, that you remember to look before.
Yes.
Because once you started, it's like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Now what am I going to do?
Yeah, hope that nobody else comes into the bathroom and run to the next stall.
The problem with the soap, it wasn't that they didn't have soap, okay? It was that the soap was just, the pump was not working properly. So you really had to, like, just, you know.
So they could go in there and think that they had enough soap.
Yeah.
But not know that it wasn't functioning.
Exactly. Oh. So the soap would still come out, but it just wouldn't be, you know, like a working soap bottle that you'd expect.
Did you try unscrewing the top?
You'd be doing aerobic soap dispensing?
Yeah. If you saw me in that bathroom, you'd be like, come on, work this thing, you know?
So annoying.
But then I kind of felt like, you know, I didn't want to make him feel bad, basically.
Right.
I know. It's their business.
But after 6 years, wouldn't you think someone, that means me and a billion people did not mention anything.
You've been going for 6 years?
6 years.
Okay.
It was the same soap. It was the same thing. I'm sorry, I'm digging myself in a hole right now.
I'm just curious. Just tell me something, all right? The first time it happened, you didn't say anything.
Right.
Why would you keep going back to a place where it is a battle to get soap?
Yep.
Okay.
Do you bring your own soap now?
Can you imagine if I brought my own soap? No, I got so used to working that soap every time I would go there, it just became a ritual almost.
Just your expectations of having no soap were there.
It actually gave me, you know, skills, I want to say. It's like, what would I do if there's no, you know, if there's no operating soap?
So what do you
do? So just really
use a lot of water.
The soap is there, guys. The soap was working. It was just the pump of the soap, which is not working.
That's what I'm saying. So did you take the top off?
So I would take the top off and, you know,
drag the soap out.
Yeah, that would be
just
one
pour
thing.
Pour it into your hand.
Yeah. Or just really try to pump the soap.
She is just so nice.
Here, I'll change the topic for you. The 847 says, we have boycotted all the Cheesecake Factories for years because of that horrible fungus-like growth they put at the bottom of the beautiful Hancock Building. Wow, that's intense. 847 got intense.
Ouch.
Yeah, I used to work in the Hancock. My husband and I were working at a place called the Financial Relations Board. He was the head of the research department, and I was a research consultant. And so it was weird when they put that in there, because there used to be a beautiful deli on the first down that same level.
Okay,
they had the best chicken salad sandwich. Mm.
What we used to call an old fashioned Jewish deli.
Oh, it was Italian. Okay. Italian butcher, like deli kind of place.
Nice.
And I think they actually are now somewhere in the downtown area. The 773 says, I always call the desk from the stall if I need toilet paper.
That is so funny.
I like, no, actually.
That's outstanding.
Yes.
Yes. Hey.
You're bringing it to their attention.
I think I've only.
And they have to immediately do something.
I think I've only ever called the restaurant from inside the restaurant once when I, like a server had. Because now there are times when I have a time limit when a server doesn't come back around. Like if it's 10, 15 minutes, like mm-hmm. we're done. So, but I have called the restaurant and been like, hey, could you send a server to my table?
Yeah, we'd like to leave.
Yeah. But yeah, have someone bring you toilet paper in the stall. They're right.
They are right. They're dead right.
All right.
It's their job.
773 just started a trend for everybody else. If you're trapped in the bathroom with no toilet paper, call the business that you are
in and say, hey.
Hey.
That's good advice.
Houston, we have a problem.
The 773 also says, the problem solver with the calling the restaurant while they're in the stall, says, David is correct. Bowie saying fame.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. No, it's not. Patty, your lack of Bowie is killing me.
Ooh. Ouch.
I think I've been very clear about my inability to name. And I think everyone was quite pleased with the fact that I knew a few songs. Hold on, let me see if I have any Bowie in my... I don't think I have any Bowie in my collection here, do I?
I don't see any.
I don't see any. We need to add some Bowie to there, because I have some of this.
Oh.
What's this, David? Do you know this?
Come on, David.
I only know it because I press the button. So it's not like I
would. The drum track does sound familiar.
It starts with a B. There's two words.
They also do this song. Hold on a second. See, I would be able, I would never name this.
Okay, Dave. The one word is boys.
Boys? And,
the one word of the two. What's the first word?
Getting Beastie Boys.
I wasn't much into the Beastie Boys.
How about this?
That's Billy Joel.
I would have to wait for him to start singing in order to get this right. My son Griffin has been on a big Billy Joel kick. He likes Paul Simon, Billy Joel, mm-hmm. Elton John. I'm like, okay, this kid's got good taste.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't sound.
Yeah, no, he does.
He's got some old school.
He's got some vintage. He's got vintage taste.
Yeah.
What are you into, Dave?
Yeah, what are you into?
I used to be into what they would call CHR.
Mm.
Contemporary Never heard of Hit Radio.
Okay.
CHR. Yeah. CHR. All right. It's, you know. But what I listen to most is jazz.
Oh.
Oh, I love jazz.
I heard this great story. I was listening to a TED talk about this jazz musician who apparently when he arrived at the, it was in Germany, I think, and he was supposed to perform, but the rehearsal piano was out of tune, couldn't hit the high range, it was kind of beat up and everything. And he walked out. He was like, this will not do. I cannot perform tonight. And there was a 17 or 18 year old girl who was working the event, and she begged him to do the show. And apparently it's like one of the best selling jazz albums. They recorded it. The intention was here's when things go horribly wrong with this musician, or when the situation is not
ideal.
And it turned out that he overcame it and played the most magnificent concert of one of the most magnificent concerts of his career, which teaches all of us, like, you know. And what is that element of creativity that makes you push past what you think your limitations are? You know what I mean? Like, if you think I can't perform under these circumstances,
finding your zone.
Yeah, you gotta find your. I mean,
look, I played classical piano when I was a kid,
oh.
All right? And I don't know how it happened, but I was playing, it was a Beethoven piano sonata, three movements, so all from memory. And somewhere in the first movement, I left the stage.
Oh.
My body didn't leave the stage.
Oh, interesting.
The fingers were doing exactly what they were supposed to do.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know when I left. But I do know I came back somewhere in the third movement. And for just a split second, it was like, what just happened?
Oh, boy.
And fortunately for me, the fingers did not stop moving.
Right.
I didn't try to think. I just kind of just kept playing.
That energy was just going through you.
And it was the one and only time it's ever happened. But I don't know if it was meditation.
Right. Yeah. That's the other maddening thing, isn't it?
Like, I don't know if that in that span of time, it's like I'd found my true happy place and just went on autopilot.
Yeah.
But it was the freakiest experience I've ever had.
And that's good. And you know, obviously you had other performances. That one sticks out because of the uniqueness of it. Did you have, do bad performances stick out for you as well? Do you remember any of them going badly?
No.
See, that's the thing.
I was good at what I was doing.
Nice. Well, the fancy.
Hey.
That's very good at what it does.
I mean, it's been a very long time since I touched a piano, but yeah.
You figure you peaked? Is that why you walked away from it? You're like, it's never going to be as good as that night.
No. It was the typical teenager thing where daddy wanted me to be a musician, and it was my way of giving a digit to daddy.
Oh,
if you get the drift.
Well, I get it. So, I get it. Yeah.
Walked away. Stick it.
By the way, talking about whether or not we let management know that there's a situation or perhaps alert them to elements that could be improved. The 708 says, when I check out of a hotel, I always inform them of two or three things that need attention in the room. The things that are so obvious that either no one else does this or do they pay no attention to people like me. Do you think I'm the only one that points out these things? First of all, no.
Nope.
Definitely not.
There have been so many stories done by local television news reporters.
Yes.
Who have taken the that kind of fluorescent light?
Oh.
And you get to see that. Oh, yeah. Those sheets really weren't clean, were they?
Well, and I do, after I saw a few of those episodes of whatever, you know, whether it was Dateline or 2020.
It makes you think twice about getting comfy, doesn't it?
I get a lot of towels delivered to my room, to sit on the couch, to sit on the office chair, to sit the way I want to sit on things. Do you wipe down your remote control when you get to a hotel?
I do.
You do? It's a good idea. You can also bring a Ziploc bag and just put the remote control in the Ziploc bag, too.
Oh, that, too. That's a good idea.
Yeah. I don't use a hotel often enough for that to become a problem.
Fair. Yeah, I will. And I was staying at a friend's house, too, and I had such a wonderful time in their home.
You're probably safer in a friend's home than you might be in the occasional guest residence facility.
Oh, you mean the bed and breakfast, the Airbnbs?
I don't want to say the hotel word.
Gotcha.
I don't want to upset anybody too much.
Yeah, I think it depends. I had the weirdest thing happen at the Fairmont. Last year, I was doing an event, and sometimes they give me a room so I can have somewhere to get ready. So I decided to take a shower because it was this beautiful, like, rain, you know, like, huge shower head. So I'm in the shower, and I hear someone's voice.
What? Where?
Yeah, in my room. I'm like, hello? Hello? Hello?
Oh, no.
And they're like, Miss Vasquez. And I'm like, hello? I'm in the shower. And like, they had just come in. And I think I had no reason to put, I guess it was like 7 o'clock at night. So I didn't put up the do not disturb sign. I just had no expectation of someone just coming in. It was stupid on my part. I should have deadbolted and locked and everything. Usually I'm super.
That swing thing on the door.
I'm usually crazy
you didn't
smart.
Do it?
Well, because I was only going to be there for an hour to get ready, do my hair and makeup. I so stupid. I usually worry about when I fall asleep. I carry, you know, those door wedges to keep a door open?
Yeah, I put
one in to keep my door closed. If you have, like, any hotel room that has adjoining rooms, I put one in the adjoining door and then one for my... I'm usually really smart about it. And I went down to the front desk after I got ready, and I said, why was somebody in my room? They had no answer. They had no idea. I went back after I'd finished the performance.
Was this card key access?
It was someone from the hotel, they think. They don't know if it was a turndown service or whatever, but I was like...
Well, they did know your name.
Yes, exactly. That was what was so... This is scary for me. So I've had someone try to break into my room on the road before. I was in all places, I was in Aberdeen, South Dakota. And I was...
That's a good reason not to go back, okay?
I love Aberdeen, South Dakota. It's a really sweet town. And I was at the Holiday Inn, and I was in the shower again, and the shower came out, you know, towel around my head, and, you know, it's covered up a little bit. And the phone, someone starts knocking on the door telling me it's security, and I was about to open the door, and I thought, well, I don't remember seeing security. And I called the front desk, and they said, no, we didn't send anybody up there. So it was just someone trying to get into my room. I went to my performance. I came back and somebody had been trying. They had sprayed like some sort of foam, like foam chemical around the door and into the I don't know what they were trying to do, like expand it or get in. We have no idea. Yeah, they moved me after that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever told my. I think I told my husband that story because you don't want your spouse.
If you didn't, he probably knows it now.
I was on the road for over 20 years performing at places like Minot and Aberdeen, and yeah, I'll give you the list off the air. Really good. What is this, Vivian?
I love this song. It's by Muse.
Yes,
I love Muse, and the song is called Supermassive Black Hole.
So this was, and this is so stupid, please forgive me everyone who's about to hear the nonsense coming out of my face and into your ears. The reason I recognize this song is that I believe it was featured in the film
Twilight.
Such a dork. I am such a dork. I really enjoyed those books. There comes a moment in your life where you're drawn to something because it's just like comfort food.
Yeah.
And for whatever stupid teenage girl inside of me, and I kind of feel badly that David Jennings has left because it isn't that hard to tap into my junior year or like junior high, like young Patty, teenage Patty. And the reason I bring that up is because I actually was letting David read a little bit of my journal from when I was 13 and 14 years old. I have it in my hand.
No way.
Yeah. And he was reading a poem I wrote when I was 13 or 14 years old. And it was so weird to have this booming voice read this. And I should have had him read it on the air. Maybe I'll wait till Thursday. You're only here tomorrow and Wednesday?
I'm here tomorrow and Wednesday, yeah.
So maybe we'll wait till next time you're on with David. Because hearing him read this poem was so weird. So Twilight tapped into that part of me that, you know, wanted to have the studly boyfriend in high school, mm-hmm. or had this sort of unrequited, on and off.
Yeah.
Right. We would get together and break up and get together and break up. And Twilight tapped into that. And so I enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed the books. And I'm a dork.
I have to be honest. That's where I got that song, too.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Okay, I feel better then.
No, yeah, I love that song, and it's been in my playlist ever since.
Huh.
So, thanks, Twilight.
Thank you, Twilight. Thank you, Muse. It was well used. I thought the first Twilight movie was better than all the rest.
Yeah, well, I think that's always the case.
They tried overthinking it. The director who did the first Twilight movie had to, you know, create this story based on what we imagined it.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like when the first Harry Potter movie came out, I thought Chris Columbus did an amazing job of bringing to life everything that I imagined off the page.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a risk there.
Absolutely.
Might alienate readers, people who've fallen in love with the story or mm-hmm. imagined it one way or the other. In Twilight, she did reimagine it, but in a way that I thought really did a good job of reflecting what was the corny story on the page.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy to think that it was all because of a dream she had.
Yeah.
With the author.
Yeah. Well, so did J.K. Rowling.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, she talks about being on a train and just imagining this kid in a flowing robe and the scarf and everything. We were talking about creativity a little bit earlier,
yeah.
about things that push you to be more creative. And you hear these stories of this kind of kismet moment where everything is in the right place at the right time, mm-hmm. for you to come up with this great idea. And there are so many artists who try, you know, they have different techniques. Maybe they schedule a certain time every single day they have to write or paint or draw.
That's why
I'm always asking musicians, especially lyricists and the ones who write their own music, how, you know, what is your process? Because I think it's fascinating to know what it takes to come up with that idea. Because as a comic, you know, when I looked at this, my journals, I was laughing because I've always had the need to express myself on the page. And I have boxes of my journals going all the way back to when I was 12 years old. And I don't write them as much. Did you ever journal?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. But it kind of started in my early adult life. Mm-hmm. So just a couple of years ago, I think I started writing and I kind of took a pause now. And I was talking about this actually with a couple of my friends that, you know, I miss writing. I miss going to my journal and just like writing what happened today.
Right.
Because I think it's something that, you know, in the future I get to, just like you right now.
Oh, it's crazy.
You know, you get to look back on it and, you know, read a page and say, wow, like, what was I going through, you know, that day? Here. And you kind of go back in time, read something.
Yeah, from August 30th of when I was 14 years old. It always takes me a long time to write, mostly because I'm lazy. I'd really like to get this book finished so I can buy a larger one.
Oh my gosh.
Because it's so tiny, you know?
It's so cute, everybody. If you see this book,
it's
my gosh.
It's got like watercolor colors on the outside.
You have to put that on Instagram.
Pastels.
Take a picture of it.
It feels like this book is taking forever. There's so much I could write that I usually don't know where to start. I've always wanted to do a lot of writing, but I'm never in the mood anymore.
Oh, Patty.
I think I could be a good writer if I could just clarify all my thoughts.
Hey, that's a good line. Clarify all my thoughts. For a 13-year-old?
I'm one of those unorganized people that can't even decide on their own feelings. I know that a lot of people think I have low self-esteem.
Aw.
That's because of the way I always talk about myself. I usually put myself down. I don't always mean what I say, but I say them anyway. I think sometimes I want people to disagree with me.
Oh my gosh.
No, I mean, I think when I say bad things about myself, I think I knew at 13 or 14 that I was looking for
people to just say, no,
nice
it's,
things,
so, no, you're not like that. You need to compliment you. Gotcha.
Look at me writing it down.
I think this is like a nice memoir fishing
for compliments.
Absolutely, you're smart.
I want people to tell me I'm not ugly or fat or boring. poor 14-year-old Patty.
Sandy, let me ask you a question.
Yes,
has your handwriting changed?
My handwriting was better when I was. Well, and part of that might have been because I was at Lane Tech where we had drafting, so you had to be very precise when you were printing. So this is in cursive. So the good news is my son won't be able to read it because teenagers can't read cursive.
I loved writing in cursive.
Oh my God, this is so crazy. It's hard to be a teenager, isn't it? I wonder if it was ever easy. I mean, like back in the 1800s.
What?
They didn't have to worry about drugs or nuclear wars. I guess we are luckier than they are, but what difference does it make? I mean, we've developed modern things only to invent things that were designed to kill millions of people. Wow, poor little 14-year-old Patty was thinking some heavy stuff.
Wow, Patty. That's actually impressive.
Well, and that's the thing with my son, right, is that I see a little bit of myself in him, and I wish that I had been as bold as he is. Like, he doesn't care if anyone thinks that he's, or at least he gives off that impression that he doesn't seek their approval, whereas this is filled with, I need other people's approval.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I've ever been able to get away from that.
Yeah.
You know? That's weird.
I just feel like times have changed now because that's great, you know, with your son, but I just feel like our generation now, we always need that reassurance. You know, we've got social media.
Yes.
You know, some people, you know, I've heard in the past, some girls would say, you know, I didn't get a lot of likes on this picture. I wonder why.
Oh.
You know, like, why did this picture get more likes than the other? And I'm just like, oh my gosh.
I know. I'm so glad I have mine in my little journal.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry. I didn't worry about anyone liking it. This is so weird.
It's very personal. I think it's a good thing to have, you know, for later on. And it's almost like the notebook, you know, you get to remind yourself of, you know, your childhood.
Yeah, it does. It reminds me. Well, and I have a What Sucks page at the end.
Okay.
This is What Sucks page. So in my journal, I have What Sucks. It really says What Sucks page.
That is so, you actually gave it a title.
What Sucks page. By the way, this works out perfectly. Mondays.
That's right. Mondays.
Mondays suck. Yep. Being a teenager apparently sucked.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Not having a boyfriend sucked.
At 14?
Yeah.
Come on, Patty.
Okay. Do you know what broke me? I blame two things. The series of Happy Valley High books, which I'm guessing you're not familiar with.
No, I'm sorry.
And Judy Blume.
Judy Blume.
Judy Blume. Mm-hmm. And look, I think that if you're boy crazy, you know, at a certain point, then you seek out the books that reinforce that.
Okay.
But Judy Blume, you know, she had this way of writing books where you could identify with these girls who had these, like, Tiger Eyes and Tiger Eyes and Are You There? God, It's Me, Margaret. were the sort of touchstones in my, yeah, just sort of desperately seeking romantic relationships when I was 14 years old.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean, now thinking back, I mean, I definitely had crushes for sure, you know, when I was in elementary school.
This whole book is all. And the thing is that so many of my books from high school were about the same boy. That's what is frustrating for me. And I know that my mom tried to dissuade me or encourage me to seek out other, you know, friendships and things like that. But I was, and she'll tell you, oh my God, with these Jason.
Oh my God. I got a funny story for you.
Well, we dated on and off from my sophomore year. The boy that I fell in love with when I was a freshman, we dated on and off from when I was a sophomore until he was the last guy I dated again before I met my husband, before my husband and I started dating.
Oh, wow.
So for almost on and off for about 8 years.
Wow.
So, yeah, isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
It's insane. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you have stories? Do we need to take a break and we'll come back with our stories?
Let's decide
what stories we want to tell. 312-981-7200. Do you still have your journals, or do you remember some of the things that seemed so intensely important when you were in high school and now you're like, oh, that poor kid? Or are you perfectly content? I think a lot of people are like, yeah, I was great in high school. I apparently had a lot of problems. More after this on 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. Call or text us if you want to join the conversation anytime. We'll be right back in a moment. It's Monday night, which apparently, according to 14-year-old Patty Vasquez, Mondays suck. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. So thrilled to be back in Chicago after about 10 days in Los Angeles. I don't need to leave my city to know I love my city, but I had to do some work out in L.A. It was weird, Vivian.
Yeah.
It was the first year that this, from last, I think, December. Oh, January, maybe. Last January.
Yeah.
I only made one trip because for 20 years I've been going pretty much every month.
Yeah, you
month.
Mentioned that, I think, yeah. Last time we worked together.
I got back there and I was like, oh, yeah, here's L.A. again. when can I go home again? Although I love my friends and I love seeing everybody out there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we were talking about our journals. And,
oh, gosh.
And some of our high school memories. From the 301, but you ended up with Steve, who sounds awesome, because I was talking about this boy. Let's call him Jason, because that's his name.
Let's call him Jason.
There are people who hate that joke. And the reason I do it, and the reason I talk about, you know, let's call, I am terrible at being fictional. I can't fictionalize anything. And if I tried to come up with a fake name for any of the people I'm talking about, it would disconnect me.
Yeah.
And I know that I should.
But
Jason and his family knows that I talk. I was doing a show one time at the theater, the Portage Park Theater on Milwaukee Avenue. And I was talking about losing my virginity. And oh, I had used not just his first name, but his first and last name. And this woman yells out from the audience. She goes, "That's my landlord."
You're kidding.
I am not kidding you.
That is hilarious.
His mom follows me on Twitter and Facebook. His wife does. No, I'm friends with like everybody in the family. So.
Oh my God.
It's insane. So Jason and I, we went out on one date when I was a sophomore. We went to homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason he asked me to homecoming was I was on the swim team and he was on the Frostoff football team at Lane, and they had a rain out. And I was a total jock. I used to hang out and work out with the guys all the time. We would play football, touch football all the time. And they were like, "Hey, Patty, swimming, we should go watch since we can't play. Let's go watch her swimming." Only the guys had never seen me in a bathing suit.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that that was a thing, that they were all like, "What? Look at Patty." When I was a sophomore, I was really skinny with big boobs. I'm just going to be honest. I was 110 pounds in a D cup. I've been very honest about not liking my curves. So Jason the next day asked me to homecoming, and the whole experience, like I was so in love with him. I couldn't believe it. I was so excited. And I remember exactly what I wore, this baby pink dress that was made out of, it was kind of a tomboy dress, but it was pretty, right? It was like a jersey mm-hmm. material. And I wore white ballet flats, of course, because I never wore heels. And And my mom drove us. I mean, we were sophomores. It was, I guess, a choice as we could have taken the train.
Yeah.
And apparently, Jason had different expectations than I did. I just wanted to dance with him and maybe kiss him and stuff. And nothing really happened. And it turned out that he may or may not have been sneaking a couple drinks here and there during the homecoming.
Ooh.
And I didn't find out till later. All my friends were like, I can't believe you were somebody who drinks. And I just didn't know. And
yeah,
none of my friends did. And my mom picked us up from homecoming. And as we were driving down Addison, he was just blathering on because he was a little bit buzzed.
Okay.
And then nothing else ever happened after. After that, he never talked to me in the weeks
afterwards. Did you still have a crush?
Oh, hello.
That's right. I mean, that's a whole book.
Oh, we dated again. We were friends on and off for the rest of sophomore year, junior year, senior year. Oh, we went out on one date. I have it in here where we caught the bus, the 68 Northwest Highway bus, to go see a movie at the Pickwick Theater. And there was a big guy sitting next to him. So Jason had to lean into me to look around him. And I thought he was trying to get closer to me, but he never put his arm around me. He never held my hand. It was the kind of thing. Jason and I have talked about it. He was embarrassed because I was such a dork, and I wasn't. And you shouldn't like a guy who says I can't be seen with you because you're not quite my caliber of girl. Basically,
yeah. Right?
Well, I didn't put out. That was the other thing too. Is I found out over the next 2 years.
Yeah, there's plenty of guys out there that are like that.
Well, he wanted to go with somebody who would put out.
Yeah.
And so senior year, we started dating, but he wouldn't tell anybody. We had to sort of be on the sly on the DL.
Mm, that's not a good sign.
It was not a good sign.
Mm-mm.
And I wanted to go to prom, but I didn't want to ask him to prom. I wanted him to ask me to prom because, yeah, hello, the little girl in this book, she's waiting for somebody to ask. And I went into the weight room. And I said, hey, Jason, I'm shopping for dresses. I thought, I don't know if we're going to prom. And he said, I don't really think I'm in a prom mood.
Oh, come on.
Vivian, and I have this in my diaries because I've checked in the last couple of years. For some reason, an alarm bell went off and I turned around. I walked back into the locker room to talk to this girl who had been mentioning something about Jason. I said, hey, are you dating Jason? And she said, yeah, he was over at my house on Friday. Oh,
you're
yeah.
Kidding. Uh-huh. Oh, my God. That's torture there.
And I'm not going to use her name because they did go to prom together. And I ended up going with a really good friend of mine. I went as friends.
I went with a friend, too, for prom. One of my good guy friends.
And that's probably for the best.
Yeah.
Right?
Had a great time.
Well, yeah. I ended up dating Jason on and off again after that.
You made the mistake.
5 years.
You shouldn't have done that. Well, no, I shouldn't say that.
No,
that was
part of who I am.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We would drift apart and come back together again. And the thing was, after that, we would start torturing each other.
Yeah.
I would break up with him. He would break up with me.
It kind of became toxic in a way.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was still calling me when I was dating Steve. He would still call and leave messages.
No way.
And then we were at Griffin's very first PTA meeting when he was in kindergarten. We went to the PTA. I come around the corner. I hear, Patty Vasquez.
Is that how you talked?
Jason? Yeah. Patty Vasquez. And I and Steve, who has seen the pictures because Jason and I were together for so long, he goes, yeah. Oh, God, it's Jason.
Oh, God. Can you imagine?
So we've still run into each other because our kids went to the same school for 8 years.
Wow.
It was weird, yeah. So his wife follows me on social media.
Kudos to your husband, too. I mean,
Let me take a break here. The epic romance of my childhood. Do you have one of those? 312-981-7200. I can't be the only person who has these.
You're
epic.
Not.
There you go. 815 says, have you ever watched Mortified on Netflix? It's people reading their journals from younger years. Well, I have a radio show, so I guess apparently I just do it here because I have no shame. More in a moment on 720 WGN.
Sometimes I feel I've got to run away. I've got to get away from the pain you drive into the heart of me, the love we share.
As the weather gets warmer, it means it's time for all the great festivals throughout the Chicagoland area. And one of the events I want to tell you about is Porch Fest, which is a community festival giving Chicagoans the opportunity to stroll in the neighborhood, of course, in Lakeview, listening to local artists. And they're going to be performing on front porches. And I love the idea of this. Joining me in studio, we have Carissa and Wright. Wright's going to play in just a little bit. Wayne Baker Brooks also joins us for Music Monday, going to play a little bit later. And now Wayne is setting up. Carissa, tell us a little bit about this incredible event happening in Lakeview.
Yeah, so Porch Fest Lakeview, it's an afternoon in Lakeview on June 2nd. It goes from 1 to 5 p.m., and we'll basically have 14 front porches hosting over 40 local artists. So it's a very fun, community-oriented event. You know, people volunteer their porches to host, and artists volunteer to play. And people can basically wander the neighborhood going from porch to porch, catching local music.
I love the idea of just walking through the neighborhood and hearing incredible artists.
Yeah, it's so fun.
How do people volunteer their porch? What are the requirements?
So only requirement is to have a porch, basically. Yeah.
I mean, like, you want there are some porches that are nice. Do you turn any porch away?
So we can do stoops, you know, and then we'll get singers, songwriters, you know, solo artists to perform. And we can also do, of course, you know, bigger porches are amazing, and having like 4-piece, even 7-piece bands perform. So basically anyone can apply, and they just send a photo of their porch, let me know how many artists can fit on it, and then we can just cater it to the size, basically.
And how long has Porch Fest been going on?
So this is the second year of Porch Fest in Chicago, but there's actually a ton in other cities.
So Carissa, you are on the Lakeview Chamber of Commerce, mm-hmm. and you've been working on events, you know, throughout the neighborhood. Where does this, you know, where's the excitement level on this? Because, you know, there are other things where you're going to businesses, but this is really just neighbor to neighbor hanging out in the community.
Yeah, I mean, people are super excited about it. They love this event. We get a lot of positive feedback, and like even the Facebook event gets so much traction. So it's always exciting to see and hear the community's like great feedback and excitement over the event.
And how do people find out more about where to go and, you know, what to expect?
Yeah.
What time? Those kinds of things.
Yeah, all the logistics and all that info. You can go to lakeviewchamber.com/porchfest. Mm-hmm. Lakeview, we have all the info over there. And also follow the Lakeview Chamber of Commerce on Facebook, because you can sign up to the event page and invite your friends. So those are the two places with all the info.
For folks who aren't necessarily familiar with Lakeview as a neighborhood, right, because we've got listeners in 38 states and Canada, give us a little bit of background on the community of Lakeview.
Yeah, so Lakeview is it's a wonderful neighborhood. We have a big focus on public art, so we have a lot of new art murals in the neighborhood, a lot of great local businesses from the Southport Corridor, which is definitely focused more on shopping and great restaurants, and then the Palina Station has more kind of an independent feel with more local businesses, like a Main Street kind of vibe, and then the Lincoln Hub is what we like to call the center of Lakeview, where we have the big St. Alphonsus Church and Athenaeum Theater and kind of big monuments in the neighborhood.
It's a great area.
Yeah, it's very fun.
Now, Wright joins us. I understand that you're a Southern rascal lost in Chicago. It's Wright Gatewood. Where are you from originally?
Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Oh, what brought you to Chicago?
The cold, of course.
I feel like he's lying, Wayne. Wayne Baker Brooks joins us in studio as well. They'll both be playing a little bit later. I'm not going to make them jam together like, hey, guys, pull out your guitars. So Tuscaloosa, Alabama, to Chicago.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that your relatives and friends have comments for you every single time you speak to them.
Oh, my gosh. So my grandmother came to town on Wednesday. I hadn't seen her about 3 years. And she holds her tongue. She looks at me and she's like, now, what do you think about our president?
Like, what does that have to do with visiting Chicago?
Well, there's definitely a political divide between the South and Chicago. And she knows that I moved here for a reason,
Well, the South and, you know, I performed in Birmingham, Alabama for 3 weeks years ago. And there is really the joke that I had was that all the signs in Alabama say I-65 South. And in the other direction, they say I-65, you're going the wrong way. away, because they like the North is not their jam. Yeah. There is a, I guess the North, I think Yankees. Yeah, tend to have. I think we don't do ourselves any justice by making fun of the South or writing off the attitude of the South. But there's also this antagonism from the South about the North. So I don't know how you resolve that.
You don't. You love it. You embrace it, and then you love each other at the end of the day. You get all your fighting words out.
Do
and
we
then
though?
You go.
Do we? Yeah. Do we though?
True. Yeah, some people can't let go, man.
Some people. And I feel like as you mentioned with your grandmother, it feels as though any of the former hostilities have sort of risen. Chicago, though, I think has such a rich and we're a quilt, right? We have a little bit of everything here. Yeah. And I think if you can let go and enjoy that, maybe. Was your grandmother sort of apprehensive about being here?
Oh, not at all.
Oh, good.
She was stoked to be here.
But she wanted to poke the political fires?
She wanted to poke a little bit.
All right, then.
City life, man. I don't know. Yeah. How long can you last in the city life?
How old were you when you started playing music?
Oh, I've been performing since I was 8. I started in theater and did musical theater for a while, and then wanted to create, and so found music, picked up a guitar about 7 years ago,
But to come to Chicago, I mean, I would think that a lot of people go to Nashville or maybe they go to Los Angeles. I'm always fascinated by the people who come to Chicago. I mean, obviously we have Wayne's looking at me like, Chicago?
Yeah.
why wouldn't they come to Chicago?
My dad came from Louisiana to Chicago.
Sure.
Buddy Guy came from Louisiana to Chicago. A lot of, you know, of our elder blues guys came from Chicago, came from the South.
Right.
And Buddy always say that the birds are smarter than him because he was coming up north and the birds were going down south during the winter.
That's a great point, yeah. Yeah, I hope your grandmother wasn't here during a polar vortex or one of our April snowstorms. It has been a relentless...
That's
insane. The best way to describe this winter was relentless.
Yeah.
And I say this winter because I suspect that it's not done with us.
No. Well, I just put my shovel away. Yesterday.
You jinxed us all.
Oh.
Yeah, it's going to be your fault.
Yesterday.
When it snows.
I'm like, I know Chicago. I'm going to wait. I'm going to just wait. And then was the day.
Yesterday was the day?
Yeah.
I think you might need it again.
No, don't say that.
What kind of music did you grow up listening to?
A lot. Michael Jackson, Patsy Cline.
Oh, that's a wide range there.
And
that gives me an idea.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, a little bit better.
Show tune, so it was all the music all the time.
Have you done anything like Porch Fest before?
I played last year.
You did? How'd it go?
It was amazing. And getting back to why you move up to Chicago, we were talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a supportive community of artists and listeners, and that's something that you don't get in other cities. You get one or the other, or you get neither. And Chicago is very special in that it has musicians that will support, and you are a musician that will support.
Yeah, I love it. When I heard Porch Fest, I'm like, cool,
right?
Yeah. That reminds me of the South.
Yeah,
like how they used to jam on the porches down
hang
south.
Out on the porches. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, that's a great point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, Carissa, are you from Chicago originally?
I'm actually from Los Angeles originally.
I was in Los Angeles for the last week and a half, and I don't. It's a strange place.
Yeah.
How was the adjustment for you moving from Los Angeles to Chicago?
It was pretty good. I love Chicago, so I kind of just. I really embraced it and love the city. Yeah, forgot about LA, kind of.
Well, not to brag, I've been to over 40 different countries
and
a lot of cities.
Yeah.
And there's nothing like Chicago. I still live here, and I do like a lot of the cities. Barcelona, I like LA, but there's nothing like Chicago.
Yeah.
Nothing. I think Chicago has a lot of elements of everything, like LA, New York, Miami. You know, with the beaches. And
what is it, though? Is it the people? Is it the...
I think it's the Midwest people.
Yeah.
There's something about us that we can go anywhere and pull rank.
That is a good point. When you say you're from Chicago,
that's
people's
right.
attitudes change.
Absolutely.
You get a couple different things. Whoa, tough city, or you'll get Cubs or Sox. By the way...
I've sold so many hats. Cubs and Sox hats over in Europe.
Really?
Yeah.
You bring hats to sell?
Yeah. Well,
that's a good idea.
You know,
I don't think you should say it on the air. I don't know. Let's go to Porch Fest and sell a few Cubs. Yeah. I'm guessing you sell a lot more Cubs hats. Are you Cubs or Sox?
Well, I'm a known Sox fan.
Okay.
I used to be a Cubs and Sox fan.
But
in 84, they like broke my heart.
Oh, wasn't that rough?
Yeah, but my buddy works for the Cubs and everything, and Dusty Baker was a good friend of mine, and I would go support him, and you know, although I did have to duck from the rocks falling and everything every night.
Be careful
back then, but
yeah.
But yeah, I'm a known Sox fan. I love my Sox.
Have you picked a team right?
I haven't yet.
No, it's all right.
I've got time.
Do you live on the north side?
I do.
It's probably healthier to be a Cubs fan. I'm just. Yeah.
But the White Sox have a great stadium.
There you go. We'll take that too. They have good food too.
Yeah.
But the
team is good too. No.
that's a different. I think that's a good way to put it. The Sox have a stadium. The Cubs have a park.
Yeah.
Right. That's kind of part of the charm.
Yeah. I like them both. You know, but my heart is with the Sox because you know I would be on the honor roll, and perfect attendance, and I would get tickets. Honor roll and tickets for perfect attendance. So I would get out of school early and you know go to the game and. Enjoy myself.
That's nice. How about you, Chris? Have you picked a team? Do you like baseball?
Yeah, I'm definitely Cubs being fan. In Lakeview.
Yeah.
I love the Cubs.
And that's what we're talking about is Lakeview. Within two blocks of Southport, Lincoln, Wellington in the South Lakeview neighborhood, they're having Porch Fest. Can you people bring like a stuff to sip? And I mean,
yeah, they can bring snacks. We encourage people to bring like chairs and picnic blankets, and you can set up like a little ravinia is what we call it in front of a front porch, you know, have a little picnic.
I love that. You've got to get out to Porch Fest. You can go to the lakeviewchamber.com website and go to Porch Fest Lakeview. And you can also go to lakeviewchamber.com for more information. They're partnering with Front Porch Concerts. Is that something that's national or is that a Chicago-based?
It's Chicago-based. Mm-hmm. It's a concert series that happens throughout the summer on different front porches. So, and that's on Sundays from 5 to 7 p.m. So it's not one big event like Porch Fest, but it's all throughout the summer.
And at Porch Fest, if you are interested, craft beer and food is going to be sold at their event hub. Local businesses are going to have some great activities for the kids. And how many porches? Now, last year you had 14 porches. This year you have how many?
Well, this year we're actually at 15.
There you go.
Yeah,
somebody
more.
Somebody gave up their porch. They said, all right, fine, I'm in. Every year get a few more.
What type of music?
Is all it kinds.
Really?
Yeah, so folk, rock, pop, hip-hop. Any music can play on the porch, so we like to try to get
a variety. You got to get some blues there.
Yeah, get some blues.
Hey, wait a minute.
It started with the blues, the porch, you know, and everything, music and porches. And
that's right. So the event hub is at the terrace at St. Alphonsus Church at 1429 West Wellington, and it's running from 1 to 5 p.m. on Sunday, June 2nd. Again, go to Lakeview Chamber, lakeviewchamber.com for more information. When we come back, let's hear a song from Wright. We'll hear Wright Gatewood in just a moment on 720 WGN. Porch Fest is coming up this. Hold on a second. Let me see what I have here. Let's turn this. There we go. Porch Fest is coming up on June 2nd in Lakeview, the hub over by there in Lakeview for everyone to convene and find out more about the destinations about the porches you're going to visit is at 1429 West Wellington. You can go to lakeviewchamber.com. You can stroll the neighborhood from 1 to 5 and enjoy incredible music from local musicians all over the area. Again, that's going to be 15 porches for Porch Fest in Lakeview. But right now in studio we have playing for us for Music Monday is Wright Gatewood. Here he is with his song First.
They say it takes some time to learn to bend and break the rhyme, to use the holes inside. I've tried a thousand lines, can't seem to get you off my mind, but you were never mine. Still you stick like broken records, round and round we go.
And the truth, if never used, gets lost with growing old. But to lose is far and few. You'll always be the one that came here first. And when we meet again, the one that I used to call my friend, I won't promise no happy end. No, we'll be sweet, sincere, and let the thickest air stand clear. 'Cause what's your worth, my dear? When I feel you crashing down, the weight upon my chest, heavy as the sands of time, 'cause they teach it best. A weathered sea reminding me that you'll always be the one that came here first. I don't have time to sit and blame you. You were a mind to coax and tame this habit of mine. Is kicked, finished through. I said it's kicked, finished through. And I don't have time to sit and blame you. Though you were a mind to coax and tame this habit of mine. Is kicked, finished through. No, I said it's kicked, finished through. You were the one that came here. You were the one that came here. You were the one that came here. Oh, you were the one that came here.
So good. That was amazing. Oh, I'm still on reverb. That's right. That's right. Gatewood. He's going to be performing with Porch Fest coming up on June 2nd. Go to lakeviewchamber.com for all the information. That was amazing.
Thanks.
That was your first time on the radio. I would not have guessed.
You did. Heck yeah.
Incredible. Outstanding.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Look forward to seeing you at Porch Fest. Again, that's in Lakeview. That's me doing my Facebook Live.
Porch Fest.
Porch Fest.
June 2nd, yeah.
June 2nd. Go to lakeviewchamber.com and wish you the very best. We'd love to have you back anytime on a Music Monday night.
I'd love to come back.
Do you have a website or anything or social media you would love people to follow you?
Come on. I'm on Facebook and Instagram. Wright Gatewood on Instagram. Wright Gatewood Music on Facebook. And then WrightGatewoodMusic.com.
Outstanding.
HTML.
Find Wright Gatewood. That's WRIGHT. Gatewood, traditional spelling. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Coming up after the news, it's more music with Wayne Baker Brooks. Want to thank our friends from the Lakeview Chamber of Commerce. Don't forget, Porch Fest coming up on June 2nd. Go to LakeviewChamber.com. And that was Wright Gatewood with the song First. You can find him online as well. Follow him on social media. And our conversation will continue after the news. Join us anytime, of course. 312-981-7200 again. That number, 312-981-7200. Music Monday in the Allstate Skyline Studios, and I am so thrilled to have such great musicians on our show every single week. We heard a little music from Wright Gatewood just a little bit ago, and now I'm thrilled to welcome one of our regular show friends here on the Patty Vasquez Show, Wayne Baker Brooks. Here he is playing Where Do I Go From Here?
She's gone after all these loving years. After I figure she'll always be near. After my tears dry, I wanna know, where do I go from here? Now, where do I go from here? I thought I never had the truth. I thought that I love him. I'll never, never lose. I wasn't prepared for the heartache. Wasn't prepared to pay more dues. No.
That was so good.
It's Wayne.
That was
Baker,
so good.
Brooks.
Isn't that amazing? That was so good.
Wayne is going to be at the Fitzgerald on June 4th in Berwyn. And you were just telling me before we got on the air that you'll also be at Blues Fest.
Yeah, I'll be at Blues Fest June 8th, Saturday, June 8th, around 1 o'clock with my buddy Rico McFarlane and Carl Weathersby. Initially, it was supposed to have been a slot for Hollywood Scott. He happened to got sick.
Hold on a second. What are we hearing on the air right now, Vivian? Is that from my screen or your screen?
You know, it's playing, and I don't know why it's playing.
Where's that coming from?
It's touchscreen. We know that,
right?
And it plays automatically sometimes.
All right,
we have to watch out for that.
My apologies, Wayne. You were saying who you're performing with?
Yeah, with Rico McFarlane and Carl Weathersby. The slot was initially for Hollywood Scott, who happened to get really, really sick and ill. So he won't be able to make it. And I'm filling in for him.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. And I just so happened to be off. So it's a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, love that you're going to be part of Blues Fest.
Yeah. Yeah. The last time I played Blues Fest was about 15 years ago.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
It's been about time that they ask you to come back.
Well...
Is it also submissions, or is it only by invitation?
I think it's...
A little bit of both, isn't it?
I think it's both, yeah. Especially for the headliner stage.
Right.
Oh, that's great. But I played it last year as a special guest. You know, I do a lot of special guesting at the Blues Fest, but...
And those events are like camp, too. Isn't it getting to hang out with other musicians?
Yeah.
You don't get to see each other that often.
Yeah, exactly. That's the fun part about, you know, being on the road. But, you know, being at home, too. Some of my friends will come in from out of town and play the Blues Fest, and we hang out, you know, the whole weekend. And sometimes I'm out of town for the Blues Fest, too, so I wouldn't be able to play it anyway, you know, just working at other festivals.
Now, you know, I know you grew up in a family, you know, grounded in music with a rich blues history. What did you like? What were you drawn to? What was a 13, 14-year-old Wayne Baker Brooks listening to?
Oh, man, I was listening to everything. I mean, of course, being around blues, some of my favorite, you know, music was by Muddy Waters. And at 13 years old, you know, Howlin' Wolf, Albert King always drew, you know, a liking to him.
Yeah.
But... You know, whatever that was on the radio, you know, at the time it was the 80s. So, you know, David Bowie with Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Okay.
You know, playing Let's Dance. You know, I loved that song because it really sounded like Albert King. And I thought it was Albert King until I found out it was Stevie Ray Vaughan playing on that song. But
he
stuff
died
like
so
that.
Young too, didn't he? Was it just 89, I think?
Yeah, 35.
Yeah.
But he lived a good life, you know, at 35, you know, touring the world, playing music for people. He was a good guy. Well, he was one of the good guys.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that, as we were mentioning, Blues Fest coming in, and we were talking about Porch Fest earlier, the ability to be around other musicians, and whether it's telling stories or catching up, you know,
telling jokes.
Exactly.
Telling jokes.
Yeah. What kind of jokes do you tell when you're hanging out at Blues Fest? Are that
I
any
can't
appropriate?
Tell them on the air.
Not appropriate. Have you always lived in Chicago, or did you try living somewhere else for a while?
Not well. I did spend a lot of time in L.A.
Yeah.
Right before I got an office downtown, I was going to L.A. December 1st to like May 3rd or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's just like going west for the winter?
Yeah, for about 3 years I did that. Because I got locked out of my house while I was shoveling.
Oh, boy.
For like 8 hours. Everybody was on vacation, and I forgot where I put my key in the garage.
Oh, that stays with you. What?
After 8 years, you know, I never had to use it, and I was just shivering, and... Yeah, I had to, like...
You reconsidered your existence in Chicago.
Exactly. I was like, you know what, man? I don't have to deal with this.
It's a better way to live.
But, you know what? Dealing with the winter for, like, almost 6 to 7 months, those 3 months of the summer is worth it.
Oh, isn't it, though?
Oh, my God.
It's worth it. It's glorious.
Yes.
Summer in Chicago is glorious, whether it's going to the beach or going to a baseball game, eating in a sidewalk cafe, all that stuff. You're right. It's worth it.
It's definitely worth it.
Well, you mentioned that there's no other city that you like as anywhere near as much as Chicago.
No. Barcelona is close.
Really? Barcelona?
Yeah, because of the nightlife and food and... Mm-hmm. And they love blues.
I've never been to Barcelona. Oh, do they? Yeah. In Barcelona? I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, our music seems to be very popular. There are musicians that are Americans who have never found success here, but for whatever reason sometimes find success in other countries.
I'm doing a tour in Europe November. November 12th through December 5th, I believe.
Do you know our friend Tom Holland?
Yes.
I know he's been doing some of the European tours, too.
Yeah. He used to work with the legendary James Cotton.
Okay.
Yeah. And James used to use my drummer as well. And we like tell each other stories between the two bands.
You gossiping about each other? Telling stories out of turn about the drummer. Are the drummers always the craziest person in the band?
Yeah.
What is that?
I don't know.
Because I have a good friend named Dusty who's the drummer for the Pork Pistols. So it's a kind of a comedy band.
I think it might be the aggression.
Is that why they're thinking it's not enough for them? Also the vibration in their core.
Yeah.
Plus they have to lug all that stuff around.
Yeah. I'm a wannabe drummer.
Are you?
Yeah, that was my first love.
Yeah, you told me you started out in pots and pans. Mm-hmm. And
that was my first love.
Trying to impress dad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And when I do Europe, usually I go behind the drums, like after the last song.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get behind the drums and freak the crowd out. Like, whoa!
I saw Santana at Ravinia, I think it was last year, maybe the year before. Was his wife the drummer?
Yes.
She's insane.
Yeah.
If I knew I was going to have biceps and triceps like that, I would have started drumming years ago.
Yeah.
She looks great. Yeah. She looks a badass.
Yeah. That's a new take to like marrying the drummer.
I don't know which is first, but she was incredible. We're hanging out with Wayne Baker Brooks. He's going to be at Fitzgerald's on June 4th, and he's going to be at Blues Fest on June 8th. You can go to waynebakerbrooks.com. I just signed up for your mailing list.
Nice.
Because you never tell me when you have events coming up. I have to reach out to you.
I'm sorry.
That's what I was telling Wright Gatewood. Email me. People always want to know how to get it. I can't go after everybody all the time. I hunt down guests, but at some point I was sitting there, I was like, I haven't seen Wayne since it was really cold out. I think it was last fall.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I think, it was like right before the new year, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think Esmeralda was here, and she doesn't even work here anymore.
Yeah, we miss her.
Yeah, we miss us.
Yeah.
Let's call her during the break. More after this on 720 WGN. I think we're talking White Sox with our good friend John Bolger, too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, more in a moment on 720 WGN. Join our conversation anytime, 312-981-7200. That's the number to call or text us.
I'm just not sure.
Cal State Skyline Studios. Joining me is Wayne Baker Brooks, who's going to be at Fitzgerald's on June 4th in Berwyn and at Blues Fest on June 8th, headlining and having a good time. I'm just going to say your headline. I don't know if that's what you said. I'm just going to throw it out there. John Bolger joined us in studio, and I want to thank John coming in. I totally forgot. It's funny because I really had a lovely Mother's Day, so thank you for your good wishes.
Well, I'm glad.
For such.
You should be taken care of. The boys should take good care of you.
Well, I actually went to, and I don't know if you guys are like this, I had the opportunity to go to a writer's circle with some other comics, and I did that. You know, it's so rare that comics get to sit around and work hash out material.
That's fun.
That was really fun. Yeah. And
that was the green room at Zany's all the time.
Well, the thing is that I couldn't decide. So, Wayne, do you ever have writing sessions with like other musicians where you're like, let's get together and just sort of brainstorm?
I used to only write my own songs. Uh-huh. And if I did, it would probably be with a producer because he'll like drop a bridge or something in there. Right. And I would have to, you know, because it would sound cool.
Right.
But then I started writing with Bruce McCabe, who wrote hit songs for Johnny Lang and, you know, other, you know, blues rock stars. And we worked well together. And that was the only guy that I could, like, actually go in and say, all right, 50-50, whatever right. we come out with, you know. And we worked really good together. And then I got to the point where it was like, you know what, I might be closing the doors to a hit song, so I should write with other people, because I was just being like, no, this is my baby, and you know, no one else, and if you're not within the family, you know. But then I start opening up,
right? It's hard to give any creative territory away.
Yeah, because you know, sometimes like with other people, even though I opened up, I tried writing with other people and it was just too much, like, Whoa, you go on.
It's scary at first. Yeah. It's scary at first because when you collaborate, you give up who you are.
Exactly.
You are walking in the door empty. Yeah. Empty pocket. Yeah. You can't come in with all your goodies that you had. You come in empty pocket and they come in empty pocket, and now you build something brick by brick.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, because you've worked with sketch comedy groups and
all
other writers.
Yep.
And I did not fare well when it came to doing sketch comedy because it's just too many personalities.
Did you already have a joke preloaded?
Well, I was a stand-up comic when I started trying to study sketch.
Yeah.
I studied at the Players Workshop of Second City. We graduated at Second City. There was also a lot of musical elements is you helped create a song called Patty Don't Sing, if you recall.
Oh, yeah.
We should find that
you know,
song.
I would love to do like some improv or stand up.
Well, you and Mark DiCarlo are extraordinary together.
I know, man.
Why don't we do more of that?
I don't know. I think because of our busy schedule, you know.
If I got a gig that maybe didn't pay well but would be fun, would that be something you would do?
No.
Okay. No. Thanks for playing. By the way,
wrong answer.
Well, DiCarlo is the same way. DiCarlo is the same way.
He already sings the blues. Don't steal the money, too.
Yeah. Well, I just can't.
What the hell?
I'm not a great promoter. I love putting on a fun show. I just don't know how to do
the business. I could promote.
So we have to find.
And I've had talks with what's the guy at WGN TV.
With Pat Tomasulo? Mike Toomey?
Pat Too, yeah.
And, Mike Toomey?
Yes.
It's Mike.
And Mike, yeah. And cool. We talked about doing like a blues and comedy show.
Well, don't talk to them. Talk to me.
Well, let's do it. Well,
right. I'll bring Toomey.
Within the family, Tomasulo, you know, WGN.
That's true. Tomasulo is hard to get a hold of, but I think we definitely get Toomey.
He's cool, though.
Oh, he's great.
He's cool.
But he's busy.
Yeah, he's real busy.
He doesn't return my calls. Pat, if you're listening, I know you're probably asleep.
I used to call him, hey, Tom, what's up, Tom? And he'd look at me like,
that's Thank you, Ken. Hey, great show, and a late happy Mother's Day. That's very sweet of you, Ken. I appreciate that from the 219. The 312 says, go White Sox, Patty and John Bolger. So you two are my White Sox fans.
I love it. You're a Sox fan?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So I haven't
been to a game yet.
Oh.
No, you're going to go, and you're going to have fun, because here's the thing. Young talent. This is all about young talent that's starting to meld together and build. We started out horrible, and I'm flat out telling you. The pitching was terrible. Yeah. We had errors galore. It was not a quality product on the field because we're getting your sea legs.
Yeah.
And now the hitting's starting to come around, and Mankata's starting to show up, and he's playing defense, and you're seeing – We have a real catcher. Yeah. We haven't had a catcher on the South Side since A.J. Pierzynski or Ron Karkovice.
Oh, wow.
I mean, yeah. That's a long time to go dry. And we got a guy, James McCann, and he's as much heart as he is baseball IQ. Mm. He's good. He's gonna
Those are the best players, man.
Yeah.
The one that has the heart because they're not afraid to do anything, man. They'll go at it and get it.
And the thing that was funny is he actually just in Toronto – he backed up a play at third base, and I'm like, that's right, you're supposed to be there, but I'm shocked as the viewer going, I had no idea you were going to be there. That is fantastic. Like, I'm like clapping, screaming at the TV, and Sonya's like, what's wrong?
Oh, boy.
It's good. We still have a long way to go. Pitching is a serious question mark, absolutely. And our bullpen is very piecemeal right now, but we're hitting.
Yeah.
And if you're hitting, you're in every game.
Yeah.
That's so true. It's an exciting product.
I should probably start watching some baseball games. I haven't watched her.
I have to take you.
Let's go. Let's all.
All right. We'll all go.
I can do that. I can make that happen.
Done.
Yeah. I know somebody.
Yeah.
Do you know a guy?
Well, it's funny because DiCarlo only goes to Cubs games, and the last time I went, we sat in the bleachers. Which, by the way, really $190 for $90 for bleachers tickets? Yeah. Oh yeah. And I brought Griffin with. He'd never been in the bleachers. It was scalding hot. We had to keep taking breaks and go to the shade. There's like a spritzing area, right? We went up there. There's a porch area, and Griffin turned to me. He goes, next time we go to the bleachers, can we do it during a night game? Because the metal seats are super hot. Yeah. He also brought a National Geographic because that's my kid.
What?
Yeah. I don't know if I think I have a picture of him. Everyone was like, DiCarlo was laughing.
Do you know what's great about Griffin? He's the kind of guy who's like, yeah, he's only hitting 322, but that's against lefty. So anyway, I'm looking at Persia.
You're not wrong. Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I'm in the middle of something.
Yeah. He's like, you know, we're still, you know, we're not pulling out of Yemen. So anyway, what's the strike count right now?
He's like brilliant Harry Carey. You know what I mean? Harry Carey was always like, how's a 3-2 count? And all of a sudden, there's a kid who looks like his head's the size of a soup bowl. And there's a home run. And I've never seen it like that. So at least Griffin is more the intellectual version where he can pay attention to two things.
Yeah, if you need an announcer that tells you, how weird would that be if he was an announcer that is great with the play-by-play, but also can tell you about the updates on news, breaking news stories, and like the negotiations with the Chinese, the trade tariffs and stuff.
Tariffs.
He's like, you know, the soybean farmers have been stockpiling and they're not prepared for this kind of, and the president has introduced some
tariffs only get moved to consumers. So yeah.
Exactly.
There's a 3-run triple.
Oh my God, that would be so funny.
What if he was intellect Harry Carey? I would love him. We kind of have that. Jason Benetti is very, very good. He's very good.
Does he do social commentary as well?
He really does. He's very social, pop culture, political, social, history. Super, super good guy. It'd be like Griffin. Griffin could probably outdo him. Maybe.
Well, let's take a break here and talk about some other topics that Griffin might discuss, including he supports recreational marijuana. That's my kid. More after this on 7. He does. More after this on 720 WGA.
Just take those old records off the shelf.
Thank you for joining us on WGN 720. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. Joining me is Wayne Baker Brooks, world-renowned musician, artist. He's performing at Fitzgerald's in Berwyn on June 4th, and on June 8th, you can catch him at the Blues Fest. Joining us in studio is John Bolger. He's a regular contributor on our show here, our Super Sox fan.
Super Sox.
Super Sox fan.
And we're getting better every day.
Also, comedian, writer, performer.
Yeah, you know, producer, guy things. Who does stuff.
We did a great fundraiser in Aurora for
you
the Aurora
You were awesome. That you was, stood that up was on crazy. The bar.
That was, it was a packed bar on St. Patrick's Day. People had been drinking since the Friday before. It was I think it was on a Sunday night.
Yeah.
It was a crazy night.
It was something.
It was very hard, and a lot of people did not seem to know there was going to be a comedy performance. So I never... you know, the thing is that you and I have been doing comedy long enough. I never blame the audience. I never blame the situation. Whatever it is, I just throw me in there and I'm going to do what we do. And that's just the way, you know, you've seen performers like go like dog the audience. Have you ever seen that? Do musicians do that?
No, I look at it. No, because I look at it as, at a perspective of the audience is my real boss.
Yeah, they're the ones that showed up. Yeah. I never get a comic that gets mad at the audience because they're the ones that showed up.
They're young.
Yeah.
They're young. They're just inexperienced and young.
I saw experienced comics.
This is Navy SEAL comedy where you just go, you know what you're doing.
I know, but I was in L.A. and I saw, and these were not just young comics. Some of these were people that I've known for a long time who went up on stage at the Improv and went after the crowd.
What?
And my mom was like making fun of it. They actually flipped it so that I ended up going last. Right. And the comic before me was like, I think I just heard the air conditioning come on. You guys are so quiet, I could hear the air conditioning now. And my mom was like, oh my God, with the air conditioning. I didn't even notice it until he told us about it. And then he said the doors are opening. And next thing I know, Jess, the doors are opening. We can hear it. People are leaving. What do you think?
It's like a horrible ride on the red line. Bing, bing, the doors are opening. But here's the other thing. You're up there. This is our job. Yeah. Our job is just to command and entertain.
Yes.
And what's so crazy is I watched you. So it started with
I don't remember who was hosting.
Vic.
Okay.
So it started with Ruthie and Vic. And what happened is we had about 230 to about 270 people there. And in the back, it was just loud, super loud. But what was so great about it is as each comic performed, we'd get more of them and more of them. So it started out with about 10 or 15, and then it became about 35 or 40. And then you commanded, and it became about 80, 85. So it's just like watching a meter going, you're winning the room.
There was no stage. So we were basically in the crowd. Right?
I have and,
like,
pictures of that.
Randomly,
so.
Like, just...
Yeah, so you better be funny.
Well, I jumped up on it. There was a ledge. And I mean, because people need to know where the voice is coming from. Yeah. Otherwise, it's a disembodied voice. Yeah. So I jumped up on a ledge into the comedy.
I loved it.
There.
You commanded. That's it.
And I have another fundraiser coming up this Thursday night at the Greenhouse Theater on Lincoln Avenue. We're doing a performance. It's going to be me, Rocky Laporte, and Dwayne Kennedy for ChildServe. You can go to childserve.org. That's childserve.org and come see the show. It's going to be Senator Katowski's event.
I love that. That is a great, great tradition there for him. He's killing it.
We should do a blues night too.
Yeah. We will. Would you be up for a charity gig?
Yeah, absolutely.
There we go.
Done.
So go to childserve.org for ticket information for that show. Again, that's this Thursday night. I'll be performing and then coming over to the station to do the show afterwards. And I look forward to it. We're going to have Rocky Laporte on tomorrow night, and then Dwayne Kennedy is going to be here on Wednesday. So it's a stand-up for kids comedy night from 7 to 9:30. And again, that's this Thursday, May 16th. I'm trying to pull up more of the information. That's why I'm vamping. I was in Los Angeles, John and Wayne.
I was Lala.
And it was fine. The first thing that caught my attention.
Were you in West Hollywood? Where were
all
you
over. Yeah, we went. I stayed in the Hollywood. He lives in Universal City, right? Is where
Studio City.
And one of the first things that caught my attention were these scooters, which I pointed out to my mom because
I love them.
They're coming our way. You know they're going to be here in the next month or so.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I don't understand. Okay, so how much does it cost in Los Angeles? Do you remember how much it cost you to rent one of these scooters?
It's not that much.
And they're not
it's
scooters.
An app.
We're not talking mopeds. We're talking just these like skateboards with handlebars.
So you know like your Razor scooter, just add that with a little more beef and you pretty much have absolute lunacy. It's like crazy.
These things are going to be all over our sidewalks, not just like people just dropping them because you can put them wherever, but also people riding them. I saw folks on the sidewalks riding them. I saw one woman, I saw also because it's a little more hilly in Los Angeles, I saw people that couldn't get up a hill and had to like walk it up the hill, which really cracked me up too. I was like, oh, it's not working out so well for you. Now you got to cart this thing around.
Welcome to physics.
So they were having some trouble with momentum. So you think this is a good idea for Chicago?
I think it's fun.
Oh, God.
I think it's fun.
All right.
And it gives a chance for people to kind of go out and, you know, do something different besides ride your bike.
So you're saying that they would, if they were not with these scooters, they would not be adventurous?
No, they would be. I'm sure Chicago would be. But I think this is an add-on. I think this is something extra to do. Because believe me, when I went to LA for the first time and I saw these scooters, I was like, oh my God, what is this?
Yeah.
And one of my boyfriend's friends, he let me ride it. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. So I would go up and down the block. with the scooter.
How far can you go on one of these things? I mean, how far would you go? Would you go 2 miles?
Gosh, I would go miles and miles and miles.
It depends on the battery charge. You might get one with only 10%, 15%, or you might get one with 100%. Now, I saw these in it was August of 2018 in Santa Monica. Here's my thing. It is a great idea. There is no doubt about it. This is brilliant. It's smart. It's very community driven. It's awesome. And it's like you just said, your eyes pop and you're like, what is this? How can I play it? It's great. And the first thing is all of a sudden I just hear my dad in the back of my head being like, these guys could screw up a junkyard. Because here's the thing. You have to properly regulate anything you have. And you have to make sure that people are careful. Because when I went there in August, they were having problems in Beverly Hills because kids were doing them. And they'd film it on their 4K GoPro and intentionally spill over a car to hit the car. Jackass, you know.
Okay, I don't support that. Well, I support the fun
part of it. So the fun part of it is great, but we also got to remember there's always a turd in the punch bowl, you guys. There's always going to be those people. So if we account for that, I'm all in. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I just don't know how I feel about the fact that we are going to have scooters and legalize recreational marijuana. I see.
I'm pop willies with it.
I'm seeing two things converge.
I'm flying.
I don't know how. I'm already concerned about my fellow Illinoisans. So John Williams was asking this the other day on Mincing Rascals, and he doesn't. A lot of people don't think that legalizing recreational marijuana will expand its use. I think there are going to be a lot of people who are like, well, if it's legal now, and I've always, you know, and they've got gummy bears and lollipops and chocolates. I just don't think people realize their ability to process marijuana, right? I know there are people that already smoke it. I get it, and I'm glad we're going to regulate it and tax it, and I just kind of wish that we would go in the direction that California did or other places where they expanded medical marijuana first, and then that way you're kind of working with a doctor, you're still checking in with somebody, and then you know people are sort of more educated and more exposed to it, as opposed to, all right, everybody, good luck with that gummy bear.
Pew pew pew. Wild West.
Hope it doesn't hit you when you're on the Kennedy, because it.
Well, no, it's because if it hits them on the Kennedy, they're hitting you on the Kennedy.
Exactly. I don't think, because people don't know the difference. Like, a lot of people are not going to be as well versed and as, you know, whether you smoke it, whether you use a like a lotion. You know, they have that kind as well.
Are you talking like so there needs to be a proper learning curve for this entire situation? Well, I couldn't agree more.
I think there needs to be a learning. I like that. There needs to be a learning curve. By the way, they're amending some of the legislation now. Before we talk more about the the recreational marijuana, Doc wanted to join us. How's your road trip tonight, Doc?
Hey, pretty good. I'm just cruising into St. Louis, and I'm just driving up on a wreck or something that's got a fire.
Oh, boy.
Were they smoking weed?
Oh. I hope everyone's all right.
It could be.
I don't think it's legal.
Hey, we got those scooters in Kansas City.
Okay.
And there will be some, we've had them for a couple of years, there will be some employment opportunities for people to go out and pick them up at night and then take them to their homes and charge them up.
Uh-huh.
So they're like wranglers. And then I think they just kind of put out the location for them, and sometimes more than one person shows up and they're tug of war, you know.
Oh,
I want this one.
Oh, you probably get you probably get a certain amount of money for how many you pick up and charge.
Yep.
Mm. Oh.
Correct. And then they tell you where to reposition them.
Oh, man. Mm. I don't know if I want to be in that sort of...
Oh, wow.
Look at that. Employment going up.
There you go.
Yeah. Hey, let me tell
scooters.
You something good on you.
Yes.
This weekend is Out Porch Fest.
Hey!
In Kansas City. 55 bands on 18 porches.
That's outstanding.
This is the first year it's been free. It's been like $20 the last 2 years. I've been three years in a row. I love it.
So it's Porch Fest this weekend in Kansas City. Is that Kansas City, Kansas, or Kansas City, Missouri?
Kansas City, Missouri. Kansas City, Missouri,
so
yeah.
So those of our friends in Kansas City, Missouri, in the area, you can go to Porch Fest in Kansas City.
An amazing barbecue.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah. All right. Enjoy this.
Thanks, Doc. Have a great night. Thank you, Doc, for that. So there is now, by the way, this week in Springfield, they're going to be amending the original legislation that would legalize recreational marijuana. One of the things that they're, because there are 60 legislators that have signed a letter saying they want to slow our roll. They want to take more time and research it and take all the different aspects and elements into account. So the one of the changes that they're trying to do to appease those legislators who are hesitant or apprehensive about passing it, one of it is whether or not you can grow your own. Because one of the original pieces of legislation included the ability to grow up to 5 plants. So now they're thinking of changing that to only if you medically need cannabis, so that you have access to it, whether or not you can go to a shop. So people who need it medically can grow their own.
Well, then you what you're doing is trying to compartmentalize the market, because mm-hmm. what you're really saying is, if you have a license to distribute, then you're a distributor.
Right.
If you don't, you're a consumer. They're trying to make that line clear.
Right. Westchester Police Chief Steve Stelter, who is the president of the Illinois Chiefs of Police Association, welcomes the change, saying it will prevent illegal growing operations. Yeah. So,
well, if you're legalizing, the last thing you want is a black market. No, just
right. I think it still will be a black market, though.
There's always going to be that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's always going to be friends of friends who sell to friends of friends.
Even with liquor, you can still buy liquor somewhere else.
You can get moonshine where you're blind.
Exactly. And you can get cigarettes. And, as much as you regulate, you still will have a black market, but it will minimize it, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. It's funny, too, because if you drink enough moonshine, I'm Irish. Sometimes I go a little blind, barely blind.
Yeah. Well, I had some moonshine with Kerry Wood.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
The pitcher for the Cubs?
Yeah.
He's a really great guy. His charity is incredible.
Oh, yes,
they do
yes.
Great job.
I love that guy, man. He's really, really cool.
He and his wife are Chicago.
I met him. The first time I met him, we played the All-Star game. We were right in the middle of home plate and the pitcher's mound, and we played for the All-Star game at the Cellular Field.
What?
And after we got done and everything, after the game was over, Kerry came over, all the stars came over, they signed my baseball, and then I saw him at Legends probably 10 years later or something like that.
Buddy, guys, place is great.
And we toasted to some moonshine, and he had about this much. And he drank it all, and I was like, whoa, bro.
Slow down.
You know that start tractors, man?
You know it's good when he's like, remember that time I had 80 strikeouts?
Oh, boy.
It was awesome. So I can fly.
Does moonshine taste the way you think it's going to, like, just pure, like, rubbing alcohol? Like, that's what I always think it's going to taste like.
No.
You get different flavors. You know that, right?
But no, I've never had moonshine.
So you can do cherry. They mash. They put. It's called a mash.
So it's like it's just really hard schnapps. What?
No. You're not getting schnapps. No. Schnapps is sugar.
Well, schnapps is like flavored.
Yeah, but you're gonna get sugar in that. You're not getting a lot of that. If you guys ever had mezcals or stuff like that,
no.
I would put moonshine in the mezcal category where you gotta taste it and put it on your wrist where you smell it, because it's going to hit you first.
Yeah.
And it's like everything else. After the third sip, things are kind of coming down.
I played the King Biscuit Fest a few years ago, and my buddy brought some moonshine, and I drank more than I should have before I went on stage, and I don't remember anything I did.
Oh, boy.
And a review came out the next day or 2 days later, and it was a great review.
That is where you are.
I was like, I need more moonshine, man.
Oh, you were on autopilot.
You got to be careful on that. More with our guests when we come back. Tell me something good. 312-981-7200. What's making you smile tonight? I know it's these guys and you tuning into the Patty Vasquez Show. 720 WGN. More in a moment.
This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter, Patty Vasquez, CHI.
On 720 WGN.
Tell me something good. Tell me that you love me, yeah.
My something good is being home again with my family, with my friends, and you right here at WGN Radio. So thrilled to welcome John Bolger. Where can people find you on the social medias, John?
I'm at johnbolger.com, so it's really hard. It's John Bolger, B as in boy, OLGER.com.
Related to the Scarecrow from Wizard of Oz, Ray Bolger.
If I only had a brain.
True story.
Wow.
If I only had a brain.
He stopped coming to the family reunions when they would make him dance every time.
Do the soft shoe. I'm not coming back.
And on June 22nd?
Yeah, June 22nd, I'm at Buddy Guy's Legends.
That's Wayne Baker Brooks. You can go to waynebakerbrooks.com and get on his mailing list so you can find out about all the shows he has coming to your area. So I just signed up for the for your mailing list.
Cool. I'll be everywhere.
Excellent. Be everywhere.
Be everywhere.
I'm checking you out at Blues Fest for sure.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
I got two great texts. One from the 815 and one from the 847. You both are very kind. Thank you so much. 815 says, "What makes me happy is that you are the only show that keeps me awake driving home to Joliet. I love that you love the show." 815. Thank you so much. And 847, "Patty is safely home in Chicago, and that makes me feel good. That makes me feel good that you feel good. All that is wonderful. It's all the good. That's why we end the show with 'Tell me something good.'
Aw.
Yeah. Tell me something good, Wayne.
Let's see. I am working on new music, as of course, always. And let's see, doing Europe.
I'm doing Europe
from November 12th through December 6th. And before that, and that's mostly France.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to add Belgium, Switzerland, and Germany to the French tour.
Nice.
And then before that, I may be doing something for the city of Chicago in London.
Oh, well, we want to know about that.
Yeah, I'll let you
know. Can I represent a little bit?
I represent everywhere.
I know you do.
I make sure people know I'm from the Shy, baby. And I love my town.
By the way, Tom Holland says hi to both of you.
What's up, Tom?
Tom Holland.
How you doing, brother?
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Fellow blues man.
Before I turn to John, before we get out of here, 312-981-7200, I have a pair of tickets to give away to the Next to Normal at Writers Theater in Glencoe. It's playing through June 16th. It's an award-winning musical that has that hit Broadway in 2009. And it follows the Goodmans, a seemingly average family on the outside, but inside their lives are anything but normal. You can get tickets at writerstheater.org or call 847-642-6000. Or you can call right now for your chance to win a pair of tickets before we turn the mics off and turn it over to Nick D. 312-981-7200. Ollie will be at the Writers Theater tomorrow night, but you have an opportunity to see it anytime through June 16th. Give us a call, 312-981-7200. John, tell me you're something good.
I am working on a new project with a company that's known, it rhymes with Schmarvel. So it's really going to be exciting. So I'm looking
Yay!
Forward to that.
And congratulations.
Speaking of which, Skylar's going to go see Endgame tomorrow down in Florida. So she cannot wait. It's the third time she's seen it. She loves quantum mechanics, loves everything about it. And then the last thing is I'm going to the White Sox game tomorrow.
Yes,
and I'm so excited. I'm going with my brother Jay, my buddy Joe, and then my friend Clay Sanders. We are going to enjoy it. And I'm hoping James McCann hits three dingers.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. We have one more pair of tickets to give away. 312-981-7200 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Next to Normal at the Writers Theater in Glencoe. And we can give those tickets away in just a moment. It's time now for the Nick D Show. Thank you guys so much for joining us.
Thank you, Patty.
Coming to hang out.
Thank you.
I love hanging out with you.
And thank you, Vivian.
Always. You got it.
Did you want to tell us something good before we go?
Guys, I took a nap today. So
Yay!
That was my... Yeah, all right.
That is good stuff. Everyone, I hope everyone gets their rest as well.